Yesterday was Father's Day, and we thought we might talk about prostate health because it's something that relates to men. We had the Legends game on Friday night, the EJ Witten game, and of course Ted Witten passed away of prostate cancer. It is one of those sort of things that can be dealt with for a long time. It's not necessarily a fatal diagnosis, but we need to know about prostate health as well, don't we? Not just cancer, but general prostate health.
Indeed, it does, Martin. And as you say, awareness is the main thing. As long as you're aware and you're keeping an eye on your own situation, and I guess that of your mates as well, then that's the best place you can be, rather than just sweeping it under the sand and hoping that it'll go away without paying any attention to it. Generally speaking, over time, men have had a pretty poor approach to their own health, pretty cavalier at times, thinking, I'll be right, just tough it out, that sort of thing. And I think Ted Witten, sadly and famously, was almost famous for that sort of toughing it out, and unfortunately he suffered because of that in some respects. So I guess it's a lesson to all of us that we can take away from that we really should be looking after ourselves while we have the chance to.
Absolutely. Now, I guess probably a good place to start would be to describe the prostate, what it does. Even some men have got no idea what it does.
Well, yeah, you can hear about it a lot, I guess, and most people realise that it's something to do with our reproductive organs, but the prostate is a small little gland found, it's only found in men because it's about the size of, I guess, the top of your thumb, around your thumbnail there, and it surrounds the first part of the tube that carries the urine from your bladder through to your penis, called the urethra, and its function is to produce semen, which carries the sperm during the reproductive process. And I guess its activity and function is dictated by the male testosterone, and I guess having enough of it, or having the prostate working properly, is important for male sexual health. So it is fairly important to us, and I guess we need to make sure that it's working properly.
Yeah, and prostate cancer seems to be more prevalent in older men. So what actually does the cancer involve?
Well, it's a growth of abnormal cells in the actual prostate gland, and that becomes enlarged and can cause restriction or blockage of the urethra and affect urination and other things as well. The thing with most prostate cancers, they grow extremely slowly, and I guess that can mean that may not grow quick enough to ever be a problem for some people, and in a lot of cases I guess that's why perhaps we're symptom-free. But it can also be quite aggressive though, and it's those aggressive ones that need to be treated with more immediate attention. It's estimated that around 18,000 new cases will be diagnosed of prostate cancer in Australia in 2016, and that accounts for about 25% of all male cancers diagnosed. So it is quite a prevalent problem in terms of cancers that are there. But I guess the good news is that in 5 years after being diagnosed, 94% of those men will still be alive. So it's not actually life-threatening if it's treated properly and treated as it should be. And whilst the process of prostate cancer isn't really understood, and there's no clear prevention strategy, there are certainly some things we can do to manage it, which we'll get to in a little while.
Well, I know from when I worked at the Cancer Council that the survival rate is very high, which you've already mentioned. The other thing is that it is slow growing, and sometimes when it's diagnosed in men of a certain age, they don't do anything about it. They do what's called watch and wait. So apart from men that are advanced in the years, what other people are more at risk of getting it?
Well, it's about 1 in 7 of men in Australia are at risk of developing prostate cancer before the age of 75, and it's less common in men under the age of 50 unless there's a significant family history. So really, I guess between the ages of 50 and 75 are the time when it is going to be the most problem for you. Although the causes aren't really known, there's some factors that do increase the likelihood, and family history is certainly one of them. If you have a brother or a father or grandfather or an uncle, someone like that in the same gene pool who has had prostate cancer, then your risk is slightly higher. Some ethnic groups as well seem to have a higher rate of prostate cancer within their populations. African-American, Caribbean men are more likely to suffer from prostate cancer, and Asian men are less likely. So there is a little bit of a racial thing there,
I think too, Italian men have probably got the lowest cancer rate, prostate cancer rate in the world, and there's evidence that suggests because of the large amount of tomato that's in their diet, apparently.
Yeah, tomatoes certainly, I think I've forgotten the name of the chemical that actually is in them, but it can be thought to be linked with restricting prostate cancer, but then tomatoes can cause problems in other areas as well.
So. Yeah, I love tomatoes, so hopefully I won't get it, but obviously diet comes into play here, doesn't it?
Diet does come into play. High animal fat foods, including dairy, tends to be, again, make the risk slightly higher, and if your diet is low in fresh fruit and vegetables, then that can also increase your risk of prostate cancer as well. High intake of calcium, again from dairy foods, is another thing that has been found to sometimes increase the risk. And as you say, tomatoes can reduce the likelihood of prostate cancer, but as I said, the acidic nature of tomatoes has other problems, so you need to be a little bit careful there.
So, Colin, you mentioned earlier on that sometimes it's hard to detect, but through my experience with the cancer council, I know there's a couple of different ways that you can detect prostate cancer, but there's no one single way of doing it, is there? It's just a combination of a few different ways.
Well, that's right, and I guess indicators from different things that may indicate that there might be cancer there that's actually used by different people. Unlike breast cancer or bowel cancer, there's no actual screening program available for prostate cancer because there isn't really evidence to suggest that routine screening actually changes whether or not it's any beneficial to us as a society or to individual people. I guess in terms of using the methods that are used, the doctor may do a rectal examination just to feel the prostate and see if it feels the normal size or normal shape. Some abnormalities may be discovered like this, but it can be possible for them not to be able to detect it that way.
The way that the blokes fear the most, isn't it?
It has the most stigma to it, and it's really something that should be overcome. It's not, whilst it's not something you do by choice necessarily, it's certainly not in any way not confronting, or it's not really a difficult thing to do, and it's certainly not painful in any way. So
could save your life too.
Indeed, it's a small thing to do for something that can be so important. Another way, I guess, is taking what's called a PSA test, and that stands for prosthetic specific antigen, which is in your blood that is produced. It's a protein that's produced by your prostate, and if those levels go up, that can also indicate that there may be a problem with cancer, although you do need to remember that 2/3 of cases of elevated PSA levels are actually due to non-cancerous conditions.
Yes, so, it's totally natural for the prostate to grow with age. The older you get, it will enlarge a little bit, and sometimes that can cause your PSA level to go up and down.
Absolutely, and there's a few other things as well that could possibly do that, so I guess it's a matter of knowing what it is and detecting changes or noticeable or rapid changes that can maybe indicate that there's something that needs to be investigated further. And I guess the last way is through a transrectal ultrasound, which takes more of a picture, and it actually takes a biopsy of the prostate as well to see whether or not there is any cancerous cells there. So there's a few different levels of testing. None of them in their own right are necessarily conclusive, but if there's anything that needs further investigation, then your doctor is the best person to certainly ask about that.
Yeah, I think a good starting point is the PSA, and if that shows something else, then they will go for the DRAE, which is the digital rectal examination.
Yeah.
PSA level, I think they start with a baseline of about 4. Anything above 4, they will have a closer look at it. Anything below, you're quite okay. And my last one was 0.5, Colin, so I'm in pretty good nick, apparently.
Good shape for the moment, but no doubt keeping your monitoring it is the key, as we've said.
So, yeah. So obviously the symptoms leading up to it, and again, they're slowly developing, so you need to be able to look at it and say, well, you know, 12 months ago this wasn't happening.
Yeah, that's right. There are some other symptoms that you need to look at. Difficulty passing urine is one that can sometimes be an indication, or slow and interrupted flow of urine as well can sometimes indicate pressure on the urethra, which is possible indication of something wrong with the prostate. If you have to get up a lot through the night and go to the toilet, then that can be an indication that there's more pressure on that is sort of interrupting your normal urination patterns. And I guess if you have any leakage or incontinence, you know, when you cough or anything like that, is another possibility that needs to be investigated. Again, stressing that it may not be prostate cancer, but you really need to find out what it is. I guess more serious things are blood in the urine and pain during urination, and they need to be investigated more quickly because they can certainly indicate things that are, you know, need to be found out and figure out what's actually wrong with you, rather than assuming that there's nothing wrong or assuming that it can be, you know, something disastrous.
If the cancer is detected, there's a number of different options, isn't it? And sometimes they have a combination of treatments to effectively control it.
Yeah, well, again, depending on how many of the symptoms are there and how many the reading readings how they actually are. Quite often monitoring is the only thing because, as we mentioned at the start, they're slow-growing tumours, and it may be that the tumour's not going to grow anywhere near quick enough for it to be a problem.
Yeah, yeah, blokes in their 70s and 80s that are diagnosed with prostate cancer will probably die of old age before the cancer gets to them.
Exactly right, and so it's certainly even a positive diagnosis isn't necessarily the death sentence that it is with some other cancers if nothing's done. So certainly that's the hormonal therapy as well. You can have injections, sometimes oral medication as well, which can help to keep the levels of testosterone non-elevated, I guess, which doesn't feed or trigger the cancer to grow at a quicker rate. Chemotherapy can shrink and control the cancer and leave some of the symptoms. And I guess radiotherapy goes into that category as well, where it can shrink and destroy the tumour if it's particularly bad. And then there's various degrees of surgery as well to either cut some or all of the tumour out so that it's not affecting you and can free up some of the pressure on the urethra and reduce the cancer. So
you can live without it. You can live without your prostate. It can be taken out and you'll function normally.
Absolutely, and certainly, the doctor will inform you of the consequences
or risks,
risks and those sorts of things, so you can make an informed decision. But if it's growing at a rate that is alarming, then certainly surgery is an option that is taken by a lot of men quite successfully to actually have it treated well.
And with all surgeries, of course, there are risks, and sometimes they use radiotherapy to actually shrink the tumour before they do surgery, so it could be a combination.
Yes.
So I guess the key is for men to be proactive about their health, regular checkups, maybe get a PSA test if they don't like the sound of anything else, and just keep an eye on it, really.
Yeah, with their prostate and with other health problems as well. The RURK day that's coming up later in the week.
Thursday.
Another example of making sure that your health is in the front of your mind. You're actually proactive about it rather than just sticking your head in the sand hoping it'll go away. You should do it for yourself, but also for your family. Yesterday, most of the fathers would have enjoyed a nice Father's Day, I hope, and those people around you, they suffer as well if you go through the horror of cancer. So if you can do anything to avoid it, I think that's worth.
So talk to your family, talk to your doctor, and talk to your pharmacist. Colin, thanks for your time as always today. We'll catch up with you next week.
See you then, Martin.